Well, folks, good morning to you, Thursday morning again, and we're well through August, and very soon we'll be, sadly, we'll be coming to an end of these devotions, these daily morning by morning devotions. So again, like our other men have re-echoed in the past, and we re-echo it, we want to thank you very much for tuning in, for letting us into your home virtually, and for spending these few moments. For some of us, maybe it's been longer than others, because some of us are maybe a bit more long-winded than others. But you have borne with us, and for which we're very grateful. Again, I just want to leave you just these couple of verses we made reference to last Thursday morning, Exodus chapter 13. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them in the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. The people were not just any people, but this people were God's people. They were Israel. They were the people whom he had redeemed. They were the people whom he had brought out, delivered out of the land of Egypt, the house of bondage, the place of slavery, and was going to bring them to a promised land. And how glad we are that we are this morning, as we sit around God's word, that we are the people of God. That we have not been redeemed, the Bible says, with corruptible things such as silver or gold, but we have been redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus. And the God who guided the children of Israel through the wilderness, even for these 40 years. And even though these people at times were rebellious and stubborn, and for some of them they would never see the promised land because of their sin, yet the reality was God still remains faithful. And how glad we are, folks, that we are the people of God today. We're not the Jews. We're not descendants of the Jews. We are a Gentile people, for those of us who are redeemed. But we're glad that we are, although we might not be the people that whom are identified as a Jewish nation, whom are the apple of God's eye, we also are the people of God, because of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. But let me also leave with you an wee verse, and a little verse that the Lord impressed upon us years and years ago, not long after we were in the work of the faith mission for a number of years, and then God very clearly and clearly called us out of that work. And we didn't know where we were going or what we were going to do, but this was a little promise that God gave to us, and it's in Psalm 48, and very much ties in with what we're going to share with this morning. When the psalmist says in Psalm 48 and verse 14, "For this God is our God forever and ever, and he will be our guide even unto death." And we know that primarily this word was written to the Jewish people, but how glad we are that this word is for us this morning. What do we know today very simply about the guidance of God? We made reference last week concerning the word of God and concerning what God uses to guide us. But what is the nature of God's guidance? Well, I want to say to you this morning that the nature of God's guidance is distinctive, very distinctive, in that when he speaks his word, he means it. Whenever he says in Psalm 27, the psalmist says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies." That plain path was a level path where there was no danger of stumbling. And that's what the psalmist was praying for here. "Lord, lead me, teach me thy way, Lord, and lead me in a plain, a path where I would not stumble and fall and let you down." But undoubtedly, the reason why I say it's distinctive is because whenever God speaks, whenever God guides, his guidance is clear and plain. Because when he, like for example, you take some of the great old patriarchs of old whom God guided, whom God led. For example, think of Moses. When he spoke to him, he said, "Go to Egypt, speak to Pharaoh, tell Pharaoh, let my people go. That's my message to you." It wasn't complicated, it wasn't difficult, it was clear, it was plain. "Let go, Moses, you're my mouthpiece, go speak for me, tell Pharaoh, let my people go. That's all I want you to tell him." And how glad we are, folks, that sometimes it's whenever God's guidance comes to us, it's simple, it's clear, it's plain. It's exactly what we need to hear when we hear. And sometimes the guidance of God in our lives, sometimes when God speaks, it has more to do with what he wants us to do, what we need to do in our lives, and what he wants to do in our lives. Whenever we think not only of Moses, we think also of Joshua. When God asked Joshua to go and to walk around the city of Jericho and walk around it once a day for 6 days, and a 7-day walk around seven times, it was clear, it was plain, it was very distinctive when God said to Jonah, go to Nineveh, and he goes the opposite direction. Well, we see what happens when the servant of God disobeys the word of God, because God in his sovereignty, God in his ultimate control in all situations, at all times. And folks, whenever we look at everything that's going on in the world today, we are glad that God ultimately is sovereign. Men might try to circumstances, or should I say, that sounds a bit contradictory, try to warp the circumstances to make things work out how they work. But ultimately, we believe that God is sovereign. God is in control in all situations, at all times. And that's why we can rely on him. When God guides, whether it be a group of his people or an individual, he doesn't confuse the situation. Why? Because the scripture says that God is not the author of confusion, but he is but of peace. If God asks me to do something for me, it's very simple, folks. That's exactly what he wants me to do. Not something different, but exactly what he wants me to do. And what he asks me to do, he might not ask you to do. And he might not ask your husband to do, or your children to do, or the person who sits beside you in church, or behind you, or in front of you, or dare I say it, our pastor. What he asks our pastor, he might not ask us to do. But thank God, if we listen for his voice, he will show us clearly and distinctly how he wants to lead and guide us as his people. If you ask him, if God asks you to go somewhere for him, then that's exactly what he wants you to do. That's exactly the psalmist says, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. It's not only is the guidance of God distinctive, it's clear, but thank God it's dependable. And that just simply means it's continual. When God would lead the children of Israel, we go back to our reading in Exodus 13. When God would lead his children of Israel through the wilderness, the guidance of God was clear for them. A pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. While it stayed steady in one place, the children of Israel pitched their tents, and there they stayed till that pillar of fire, or that pillar of that cloud by day, would move. And once it moved, they uprooted. They gathered up their tents and gathered up the top button. And I'm sure the those that were involved in the tabernacle, the Levites, they would be responsible for dismantling the tabernacle, gathering it all up, and then moving along with the Ark of the Covenant right out in the very foremost, because remember, this pillar of cloud was directly above that Ark of the Covenant. And it was a very significant, it was a very important piece within the children of Israel's camp. Very, very important piece. And when that pillar would stop, there the children of Israel would stop. When it moved, they moved. Folks, Adam Clark's, in fact, let me read to you what it says in Exodus 13. It says, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of fire or a pillar of cloud to lead them in the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night. Adam Clark says in his commentary, we may safely assert that while it was indispensably necessary, it continued with them, and when it was not necessary, it was removed from them. Folks, that might be so, what Clark says. Personally, I believe that as long as Israel had, while they were in the wilderness, they always had this pillar of cloud by day and this pillar of fire by night. Maybe whenever they settled in Jerusalem, it was maybe a very different place, because there, that was the place where God was bringing them to. But how glad we are, we have something that we hold in our hands. And dare I say, some of us maybe we put on our shelves, and that being the word of God, that will be indispensably necessary in our lives if we are to continue to know the guidance and the leading of God. Isaiah the prophet said, and the Lord shall guide thee continually, satisfy thy soul in drought, make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a well-watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Folks, can I encourage you this morning? He will guide you, and thank God, he will guide me. And the guidance of God is, as we already mentioned here this morning, It is distinctive, it is clear, it is continually. But at times, the guidance of God is disturbing and it is disruptive. Sometimes it's disturbing and it's disruptive because you remember, maybe, I don't know if I mentioned it last week, but whenever the eagle wants to get the young out of the nest, she's got to make the nest uncomfortable for them. The young chicks, as it were, when they were born, she made something that was extremely comfortable for them. Something whereby they could feel secure, happy, settled, rested. Because while they were young, it was her role to protect them, make sure that she provided for them. Now, it's not that whenever God stirs us up and makes it uneasy, it's not that he's not going to keep protecting us and providing for us. Because we believe that as the walls surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. He told us he'd never leave us nor forsake us. But I don't know if you do much about gardening. We're told that Prince Charles, and we say this in the most respectful terms, they tell us he talks to plants. Well, poor critter anyway, maybe he finds it quite satisfying. But I'll be honest and say, I haven't attempted to talk to any plant. I talk to RGS, my girl, but I don't talk to plants. And I suppose in many ways it's not much different than talking to plants, because she's not as if she can talk back to me, but yet she knows exactly what I'm saying. But let me say this to you. If a plant could talk, now don't think I'm going all doolally, but if a plant could talk, you could imagine if the day came whenever you began to uproot that plant and said, well, look, you talk it over with someone else in the garden and world, and you say, look, this plant man says, you need to move that plant. Maybe the ground's not right, the soil quality's not right, the sunlight's not right, instead of getting too much sun or not enough sun, move it towards best suited. Maybe if the plant could talk, might say, but what are you moving me for? I'm very happy where I am. I'm very content where I am. I don't want to move. Just leave me where I am. But the chief gardener knows that if that plant is going to prosper, if that plant is going to produce the sweetest aroma and the most beautiful of flowers, it's got to be in the right place. And folks, if our lives are to going to have a sweet aroma, that aroma of Jesus, and produce a grace that is undoubtedly one that magnifies and glorifies Christ Jesus, sometimes God has to disrupt us from where we are, make it uncomfortable to get us to move to where we will blossom the best. Is it easy? It's not easy. Is it joyful? It can't be joyful. But thank God, it will be prosperous. Let me say to you as we close this morning, the guidance of God is divine. Surely at times it can be disruptive and it can be disturbing. It is dependable. And thank God as well this morning as we consider this thought, it is distinctive, but we rejoice this morning that it is divine. The psalmist says, preserve me, O Lord, for in thee do I put my trust. The guidance that we seek this morning is not from remember whenever Paul stood on Mars Hill and he saw all them men worshipping idols and images, and he would preach on them to the unknown God. This unknown God that Paul would declare to the men of Athens is the exact, this God, he is our God. He is your God today. And one thing he has promised for you, and one thing he has promised for me, is the continual, dependable, divine, he will be our guide. Psalmist says in Psalm 32, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which I shall go, and I will guide thee with mine eye. God will watch, says Albert Barnes, God will watch him, will keep his eyes on him. He will not let him go wrong. I, for me personally, and I'm sure for many of us, we can relate to this wonderful truth that when we are in the place that God wants us to be, we have that sweet kiss of peace that the Spirit brings to our spirit, that we know we are where God wants us to be. Let's pray. Father, help us this morning. Help us this day. We're glad to know that you are ultimately our divine guide. And our prayer is, Lord, that you will continue to guide us as a congregation, collectively, and guide us as individuals for the glory and honour of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, folks, and thank you for tuning in.